This time of year, everyone talks about going dry. But at Athletic Brewing Company, we're skipping that because we prefer going athletic, which isn't dry at all. From crisp Goldens to hoppy IPAs and limited releases in between, you'll find something that fits your style. Every single non-alcoholic brew is packed with flavor and the same craft experience you love. So yeah, you could call it dry, but there's really nothing dry about it. Find your new favorite near beer at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brewing Company, fit for all times.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in. This is another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I'm Dan Canobio, alongside Chris Algieri every single week, and we are powered every single week by PPV.com. Go ahead and order Benavidez versus Morel over on PPV.com. No subscriptions needed, none of that stuff, no commitments. Just go ahead and order the fight. Watch along with us in the live interactive chat. Jim Lampley, Lance Pugmire, me and Chris will be in that live chat heading out to Vegas in less than 2 weeks. Got the dinner reservations ready to go, Chris. A little Barry's Prime.
You know how that works, Chris.
Barry's Prime, guys. You need to. I mean, we've been pushing it now for a couple of years, but it's our go-to steakhouse in the Sin City. And if you haven't been, you're missing out.
It is an unbelievable restaurant. It's an unbelievable time. It's an unbelievable week. It's an unbelievable time in boxing. First off, I want to thank
first trip of 2025, Dan. This is
correct.
It's been a while.
Been a while, especially with PBC, but I think things are about to pick up in a really big way. Before we get into today's episode, I want to talk about last week's. A ton of messages from our listeners about the Cotto Margarito look back episode. Everyone loved it. We will be doing more. It was one of our lowest viewed videos on YouTube, which is interesting. Uh-huh. I think that's like an algorithm thing because no one exactly is searching Cotto's name or Margarito's name, but I don't care. It's not going to stop me. Because the feedback was tremendous. So we'll do another one of those. But there's a lot of boxing news. We're back to our regularly scheduled content, Chris. This Ring Magazine
current events
award dinner stuff. Like sets shit off, man. Like, I feel like January has always been a slow time in boxing. But now it's like everyone's getting their ducks in a row. Everyone is like figuring out their year. Because all these fighters fight two times a year. So they're figuring out who are we going to fight twice. And now when everyone is in the same room, like they were in London for this award show, and you have all these huge personalities, you have all these money movers, you have Turkey holding court, we're getting so many stories to come out of this weekend. We're getting so many fights, so many deals. It was an awesome event, too, the awards show. So I feel like now we're like setting ourselves up here in January for what should be a wild like 11 months of boxing because there's a lot of fights that are about to be made.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like you said, getting everyone in the same room, that's how deals get done, you know, because you got, and I talk about this all the time. We talk about promoters and their egos, just like they have egos just like fighters do, and they want to win. And just like when you put fighters around each other, man, we just want to fight each other. Promoters, I think, do the same thing. I think if you put them in the same room, they're like, you know, my guy can beat your guy. And that's what a promoter does. They're like, they make fights happen. So you put them all in the same place. Maybe you get a martini in their hand at the award show, and you know they start to going back and forth, and then we get the fights that we want. So I think at the end of the day, putting everybody in the same room that way, getting everybody's guard down, so it's not so much like at each other's throat across a negotiating table. You know, these deals can get done. It's like golf. You know, deals get done over golf. You know, it's a big thing for businessmen. You know, like deals get done at award shows too. Apparently, so
well,
it's a good thing for boxing.
You know
for 2025.
You know why these deals are getting made? Like, yeah, it's nice to have all the promoters together. It is nice to have all the fighters together. I mean, there's Turkey Al-Sheikh is there, and he is throwing money around.
He's footing the bill. So,
oh my god! Like, if there was ever like a question of like, what's the future of Riyadh season, or like, are they here to stay? They're definitely here to stay for the next foreseeable future. Like the purchasing of Ring Magazine, the purchasing of 10% Saudi Arabia of DAZN now was a huge development. This award show. This is like the first of its kind in boxing. Like there's no unified league. We know that there's no MLB. There's no NFL does an award show at right the night before the Super Bowl or the week before the Super Bowl. UFC does their awards. Boxing never had that because it's so damn fragmented. Like Matchroom would do their own, and Top Rank would do their own. Never would you see like a.
And generally, they only nominate their own fighters.
Right. It's I mean, Ring kind of did that a little bit too. They were missing some events, but for the most part, this was like the biggest and the most unified celebration / award show that we got last week in London. You know, fully produced. You know, fighters going up there and giving. Giving out the awards. It was like an Oscars for boxing.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking the way it looks like Turki Alashik and the Saudi guys are like, they look at Hollywood and they're like, God, that's the biggest, the grandest scale when it comes to award ceremonies. Everybody's black tie. Why don't we have that in boxing? So he's mixing a little bit of Hollywood, American, you know, the West celebrity status with fighters, which, I mean, I get it. You know, especially if I'm looking from the outside in, but and that's what we get. We get the Academy Awards of boxing. That's
hilarious to see what money can do. The money like gets these fights over the finish line.
You know what's hilarious or basically or sad, really embarrassing is how you get these people to act when there's money around. Fighters that, you know, taking photos. You're like, what are you doing, bro?
The bending of the knee.
Oh, kiss the ring.
There's a lot of that going on right now, for better or for worse. If we get big fights out of it, I think most fans don't care. Like most fans are just like, it's kind of like, just get me those big fights. So if Ryan Garcia is going to fight him.
I think that's what you and I are too. Like, who cares?
Yeah, but like we follow it day to day. So like, you know, we're in the weeds. So like we get a little more annoyed than the average fan by some of the things that we're seeing lately. But the average fan just wants to see the biggest fight. It's like the UFC.
If boxing ever stops annoying me, I think I'm done with boxing.
It's a love hate.
Because I care about it. If I'm ever like numb to it, which I was during my career at a time, because I was so sick of the sport. But you know, like now at this point, you know, being on this side, if I ever don't care, I don't know, man. Pack my bags. I'm done.
It's a love hate, man. 70%, 80% love, 20% hate every once in a while. But it's like the UFC fans. Like, do they care that the fighters are getting underpaid? Do they care that there's no union?
I don't think
the UFC
fans think a whole lot.
They don't.
I think there's a lot going on.
They just want blood. Just bleed, baby. Just that violence. Like that meme of that guy. Just bleed. So I think boxing fans don't really care how the fights are getting made. They don't care that there's, you know, what does the Saudi government really have in mind here at the end of the day? They just want to see Ryan Garcia fight Devin Haney. They just want to see, what's his name? His name is Canelo Alvarez. Fight Terrence Crawford. So this big awards dinner was pretty cool in itself to get that. I hope that's a staple for years to come. It's really nice to see the fighters get their just due and like get up on the stage, give a speech. Really cool. But most importantly, like business came out of it. A lot of business. And it was like everyone touching down in London, post Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, Teofimo Lopez, all in the same room. Canelo Alvarez with Turki was probably the biggest thing to come out of this was Canelo photo ops with Turki, you know, taking pictures with them. Looks like Crawford Canelo has legs. You know, famously, this is a guy in Canelo that I don't like Turki. He says, I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he operates. Next thing you know, they're in the same room shaking hands. And I'm pretty sure Canelo Alvarez will be part of Riyadh season. I think that was the biggest takeaway from this awards dinner.
No question about it. Canelo's going to be, he wasn't going to sit on the outside looking in and be like, oh, I mean, everyone's getting paid a percentage more, you know, whatever that percentage, you know, 2X, 3X, whatever. People are getting paid more. Canelo makes a ton of money, but why would you not maximize how much money you could possibly make? So I understand it. You want to die in that sword and leave generational money on the table. I get it. Guys do it. Marvin Hagler did it. You know, he could have come back for some rematches and other fights. He's like, nope, I'm done.
Would Marvin Hagler come back if Turki Alashik was like, hey, Marvin?
That's the question. Hey, buddy. I don't know, man. The kind of money he could have made for a rematch with Sugar Ray, you know, after that fight, after that, you know, controversial decision. He was just so disgusted with the sport. And he was like, I'm good enough at this point. But, you know, he's a different kind of guy. And Canelo, we haven't seen him have that kind of attitude. So the fact that he's turned around, you know, kicked that heel and has turned back around, it's not that surprising. Notice he was the only guy not wearing a tux, though. He was wearing just
was that his little, like, I'm not going to fully bend the knee?
I could do what I want.
I'm not going to fully bend. I'm just going to hear what you have to offer, Turkey. And yeah, it sounds pretty good. Yeah, I will fight Terrence Crawford. Oh, you're going to give me $100 million? Oh.
But Dan, if you think about it, we talked about it on the last couple shows. Canelo is quickly becoming cornered, that there's not really any major fights around. That is the super fight now, which a year and a half ago we were like, that's not even a good fight. Now it's like, well, that's the only super fight that's available on the table for Canelo Alvarez. So the fact that he's come back around, I think he just looked at the landscape, so where he was at in his career and how much more realistic that fight is. Are we going to make it without Turkey? You could, 100%.
That's what I mean. I'm glad you said that.
Why not get extra money stacked on top of it? So.
Right. Because I'm glad you said that, because I don't believe that Canelo versus Crawford essentially needs Riyadh season, needs Saudi Arabia. Really, this is one of those few fights that actually will move. It's one of the few fights that actually sell tickets. One of the few fights that actually...
It's a crossover appeal.
Right. I think it's one of the few fights that could push a million buys. I don't necessarily think you need Riyadh season to get it over the finish line. I do think you need Riyadh season to make a better bit of Bivol and Fury Usyk. But there are some fights that sell here in the States. So you're right. It's just extra added money on top of it. I'm never going to fault a fighter for taking more money, even if you're Canelo Alvarez, even if you have all the money in the world. Terrence Crawford, on the other hand, he needs Riyadh season. He's the one that, you know, he's in lockstep with Turkey. That's his promoter now. So we'll get into that too, with Javante Davis kind of being on the outside looking in and really letting his voice be heard about what he thinks about everyone that's with Riyadh and what's with Turkey. But I guess we could start there with the Canelo stuff. So Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Crawford looks like it's really going to happen now. And it's going to happen with the help of Riyadh season. They're looking at September date in the U.S., which makes me very happy, because this fight belongs in Vegas or California, New York. Most importantly, it just belongs in the U.S. Canelo Crawford is a bona fide crossover mega event. We'll have Riyadh signage. We'll have Riyadh influence. We'll have Riyadh, its touch on it. Absolutely. Because that's just the name of the game now. But a fight that we were questioning, a fight that we were thinking, could this actually happen? Looks like it's going to happen. And it's going to happen in September of 2025. Interesting times for Canelo and Terrence Crawford.
Dan, you said that, you know, it deserves, it belongs, and it couldn't be anywhere else. Because, listen, we've been to both Terrence Crawford's last fight, we've been to Canelo's last fight. We know how big of a draw Canelo is. I mean, it's incredible. Fight weeks in Las Vegas are amazing. They're so much fun. We talk about it all the time. The Mexican fans come out, they hang out all week. It's fantastic. And then with Crawford, whose fan base has certainly grown, he definitely leaned on Errol Spence's fan base, you know, when they fought in that fight. But his walkout, you know, the crowd, the way he won the crowd over during the walkout and during the fight, that needs to happen with a crowd. You cannot do that Kingdom Arena, whatever, in Riyadh.
I don't know the name of the arena. It's not an arena.
Whatever. The fights happen. That's great. This fight needs to happen. It's a must, an absolute must that happens on this soil, because the fan engagement is going to be so important for that fight. It's going to be out of control. I mean, the atmosphere is going to be wild. And the atmosphere is going to be like another player, another character in that fight. So it absolutely has to happen there. And in terms of this fight happening in September, let's talk. All right, so we're talking about the good, right? It's good we're happy to get this fight happening. Let's talk about the bad real quick. What does that mean? Who's Canelo going to fight in May?
Oh, it's got to be a layup. Of
it's going to be Skull. Just like I said. This 2 weeks ago, dude. I said this to you. You were like, no way. Don't do that to me. I'm like, listen, they're gonna slow pitch a Skull, but they're going to be like, but listen, we got Crawford in September. Wow.
Yeah, but like...
So that also creates a unification, right? Because Skull has the IBF. So Canelo gets the Skull win. He gets the IBF. He's undisputed, mm-hmm. Makes that fight with Crawford that much bigger.
Yeah, I hope it's not Skull.
It is. Dude, why would it not be? Of course it is.
Probably. You want to get undisputed on the line? That's another just little caveat to Canelo Crawford. I don't think Canelo Crawford needs undisputed on the line, but if Crawford could somehow pull off this massive upset, he could say I'm undisputed at 130 140 147 and 154. Excuse me, 168?
I'm sorry, 168 now, yes. Just, and skipping 147 all the way up to 68, undisputed in three different weight classes. That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's undisputed. There's many different ways to break down undisputed. Not all undisputeds are built equal.
No. Yeah.
Like, you're just taking off Canelo. You didn't, you know, do the other work that Canelo did to get those belts.
It's Kambosos beating Teofimo Lopez to become undisputed. Like, yeah. He's, you know, listen, no knock on George. I like George, but, you know, it's he didn't have to go collect heads the way that other fighters have. Like, Usyk did at cruiserweight, where he fought the baddest guys around, had to go to their hometowns and beat them, you know, or beating a dominant champion for a long time. So, they are not created equal, that's for sure.
Well, Canelo will fight in May. Oh, I think so, at least. I would be shocked if he just waits until September. Crawford is perfectly fine fighting once a year. He's fought once a year for the last, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
So Crawford will just sit out. He'll do his normal hiding. He'll come out of hiding for maybe Canelo's fight, show up to it. You know, Canelo will win. They'll get in the ring. They'll stare down. And then Crawford gets his dream fight against Canelo. Now, if Canelo's going to fight in May, like, and you say maybe Skull, that would be kind of disappointing. But I understand the narrative there. Like, almost like at that point, like a Jermall Charlo would satisfy me. You know, that type of fighter.
Skull? Yeah.
Yes. Like, Caleb Plant,
I don't know, dude. I got such a bad taste in my mouth from the other Charlo. Like, he didn't even try.
Guilt by association?
Skull will try. You know, like, he doesn't have the skill. Like, he's not as good as
Skull was robbed, man. I mean, Shishkin was robbed in that fight against Skull.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, this guy, he doesn't deserve. Like, come on. This is ridiculous. But they can build it up. They can put Teofimo on that May card, which is a rumor. They can put Haney and Garcia, which we'll get into in a second, on that. If they put all those guys on there, and, like, the main event is Canelo's Skull, but, like, oh, we're also getting, like, three other huge names, and we're doing it at a really sexy location, and we're getting all the pageantry that Riyadh will push out. Yeah, there's ways to polish a turd. There's ways to polish Canelo's Skull.
What a orator you are, man. The way with words, just incredible.
I love that term, though. Polishing a turd is one of my favorites. That's what Canelo's Skull would be. You'd have to really dress that up. You'd really have to disguise it by putting, like, five good fights around it. You know, have Crawford get in the ring and have Crawford there all week. Have Crawford in the corner of Skull. I don't know. Like, really push the hell.
The corner.
I don't know. Giving
Skull water and tips. Yeah.
Like, let Skull tag in Crawford at some point. I don't know. I'm being disrespectful. I'm sorry, William Skull. You're a boxer. You put your heart on the line. I'm being serious right now. And you did what you had to do to get this shot. And you did what you had to do to get in position for this. So if you do get the fight, great for you, your friends, your family, generational type of money.
Absolutely. No, always respect the fighter, but it doesn't change the fact we don't want the fight. We don't want to see the fight. So it's you know, we're looking, Canelo's at a different level in terms of, you know, doing these types of fights.
I don't know who else he would fight. Like, May is now like what the heck is this going to be? Like, Skull, Jermall Charlo, there's Plant too, which I think is a little too risky for Canelo. I don't think, you know, Canelo would be a favorite, and I think he would win, but it's, you know, if we're looking at like $100 million fight with Crawford, you know, they're not going to put someone in there that could potentially upset that.
Yeah, which is it, you know, because, and Billy has a fight already scheduled, but
technically, I mean, that could change.
Right. You get the call that, hey, we're gonna do Canelo a month later. It's like, yeah, okay, you know, obviously. But I don't think he gives Canelo any trouble. I think that's a high profile, visibly dangerous fighter, you know, that would elevate Canelo. Skull, the only thing is it's the belt. It's the unification. It's the undisputed.
A belt that was taken off of Canelo by a technicality.
Remember how many people were asking or were complaining about Usyk Fury 2, that it wasn't for undisputed, right? Because Usyk was stripped after the fight, and then Dubois was able to fight for it. So it's like, it still matters. You know, that moniker matters. And especially for Crawford, much more so than for Canelo. Canelo's been undisputed at that weight. Crawford's never even fought at that weight, and he's going to go right into a undisputed fight. So
if it's a Riyadh fight that Canelo appears on in May, which is looking like the case, could they find someone from like Matchroom? Maybe get tap into that roster. Find someone coming up from 160. You know, it's not going to be Chris Eubank because he's fighting Conor Benn. Not that he's with Matchroom, but is he with Matchroom? No.
No, he's
Eubank, he is.
Boxer? No. He's with Shalom, right?
I don't know who he's with anymore. He might be like solo dolo, but
Eubanks with Shalom.
Right, Ben is with that. Maybe they can tap Ben into another roster to find Canelo an opponent. But it looks like we're getting Canelo versus Crawford in September. And I'll tell you what, it's a big fight because I'm seeing like just them together and just like the rumors of it, because this doesn't have like full legs. This doesn't have like negotiations have begun. It's just like, all right, it's trending towards that. And some reputable reporters.
Have they been next to each other? Have they like shaken hands? We've seen any of that?
Crawford came in. Crawford wasn't at the event. He came in the day after.
I want to see that. What they look like next to each other.
Well, if you want to do, like, I can post this. If you want to use me as a barometer of size, I was next to both men.
You should post that 100%.
This past summer, I was next to Crawford, where I felt bigger than Crawford in terms of like thickness, which is weird because he's a boxer, and I've never felt that way about any boxer. With Canelo, I felt I was the same height as him, but man, does that guy have some girth. That guy is freaking.
Have you been reading your thesaurus I got you for Christmas?
Yes.
You're getting some new words in there.
The guy is built like a freaking door, Canelo. And like I was just sizing both guys up. Pause. And I was like, damn. Like Canelo is just so much bigger. Like he's going to.
Bigger human. Yeah.
I think he's just going to push Crawford around physically. But I don't think Canelo has faced this good of a technical boxer. And wow. Just all around technician and just brilliant boxer.
Oh no, maybe he has. I mean, Bivol. Originally Lara back in the day,
and Bivol.
Like he's definitely fought.
Yeah, but Mayweather Crawford above them. Crawford above them.
But in a, well, I mean,
but not physically was my point.
No. I mean, but it's hard to even go against like Arizona Lara in terms of technical proficiency and a guy.
Yeah, he had size,
and you know, and he had size then too. So it's like. Yeah, I know he hasn't fought that type of fighter in such a long time and hasn't had to fight a guy like that. So yeah, but also Crawford's very strong and you know power's power. You know I sparred 126 pounders who could punch. You know it didn't matter that they were 120 fight at 126. Like they can punch.
Yeah, but Crawford didn't look too powerful against Madrimov.
Right, but I think that's a bit of a misnomer because I think that Madrimov is actually like phenomenal. I think he is an absolute stud. So I think a lot of that had to do with how good Madrimov was rather than, you know, Crawford falling short of 54.
Crawford isn't going to win this fight off of power and physicality against Canelo. He's going to win off of smarts. He's going to win off of boxing. He's going to win off of precise punching, which he is known for. And, one, you know, close to 50% of his power shots doesn't get hit because of those long arms. And ducking out of the way and still being in range.
The issue is you gotta hurt Canelo.
That's what I mean. Canelo's just got an iron chin. And this guy doesn't go down.
He's got the best chin in boxing. Age matters, power. Definitely. Chins have a timeline that is much, much shorter than your chronological age.
Bro, but, if Crawford checks Canelo's chin and drops him, are you kidding? That's like an unbelievable moment. Not going to happen.
It's not. I mean, it's not the craziest thing to think about because Crawford's got a guy hit you punches you don't see.
Yeah.
He's got incredible timing, his ability to pull the trigger, which again, he's aging too, though, man. I don't know. There's so many aspects, and this is why boxing is such a nuanced sport, especially when you get the highest level. But yeah, it's going to be a cool fight once it actually does get announced, because then you can actually start studying it. So
like building a case with Crawford intrigues me.
Yeah, and I will, but I'm not going to waste my time until that fight gets made. Like, right, it's never going to happen. I'm not going to sit there and mull over tapes.
It's January 16th, and there it's not finalized by any means. And
Dan, you can speak to this. Let the fans know how much I go over when I do matchups when we do.
You'll change your pick about 40 times.
Yeah, well, because I'm studying, I'm watching these guys. Once I see a thing I can't unsee. Changes. It's just like
what
guys when we do our videos, we do them in the gym. We talk like so fighters. I do a tremendous amount of tape.
We got a Benavidez Morel one that's been edited. I'm just waiting to post it, so that'll be coming out soon. Those are fun.
We get a couple weeks.
What talking head is going to really ride for Crawford? Besides Tim Bradley.
Well, Tim Bradley is doing it. He's yelling from the Raptors by himself right now. But
just so they can say, hey, I told you so. When most pundits are going to be picking Canelo. That's what makes this fight fun as well. It's because it's like...
I think as we get closer, more and more, Tim Bradley's will step out of the crowd. I do believe that.
Well, he's leading the brigade.
He's leading the charge, for sure. He's got the bullhorn.
Yeah. So that was one of the bigger stories to come out of this award show weekend. Another one was Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney. So Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia have a two-fight deal in place.
Well, first talk about how they paused the...
I'm getting to it.
Okay.
I'm setting it up for the social clip right now. This is how it works in my brain. From the top, Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia have a two-fight deal in place with so many caveats, Chris. One of which is we're going to pause the battery lawsuit, which gives Devin Haney a lot of leverage. Ryan Garcia agrees to it only if he also does year-round VADA testing. If this all goes through, then we're looking at interim fights for each on the same card in May, and then a rematch in September or October in Saudi Arabia. There's also talks of a trilogy that's also being reported, but it looks like one of the most anticipated rematches in boxing between Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia is going to happen with the help of Saudi Arabia as per usual. I think it's one of the biggest fights that had to be made this year, so I don't care how it's made. Don't like that it's going to be in Saudi Arabia, another fight that belongs in the U.S. But this is a big, big-time story to come out in the last week.
Yeah, I mean, the controversy around the original fight is so massive and is such a big blowback past the fight, and it's still going on, ongoing. Like you mentioned, the ongoing
lawsuit,
and you know, back and forth, and settlements and whatnot. It makes me think: was the lawsuit not even so much to attack Ryan, but to be a negotiating chip to make this fight? Because this fight was definitely going to happen, right?
Yes.
And one thing I've always said about Team Haney, Bill has been a phenomenal chess player in terms of maneuvering his son's career. You know, so it makes you think, it's like, now this is kind of coming together. This is kind of coming together now. Now we got this potentially three-fight deal, right? Because they're going to get an interim fight, then they're going to fight each other. And since the first fight ended controversially with no winner, you really can have a rematch no matter what happens. Ryan wins, quote-unquote, again. You can still have a rematch because the first fight is null. Very interesting. And in terms of the year-round testing, I don't think even Ryan's crazy ass would risk this opportunity. It's a ton of money. And listen, not for nothing, Ryan's a dog. I think he wants to kick Haney's ass again. So this is a good thing. I think it's fun. Did they talk about weight class?
147.
That's interesting too.
Haney tweeted last night, goodbye 140.
Yeah, we've been saying that. He struggled to make 40 big time last fight.
He's not big though. Like he's going to be a small 147 pounder.
Absolutely.
He's not tall. Like I have height on him. Like Ryan Garcia is tall and he could fill out. He could probably fight at 154.
Yeah, Floyd wasn't tall either. Floyd was legitimately 5'8", maybe in the 5'7s. But he did have a long reach. He was like a 72 or 73 inch reach. He had the same reach. I remember Floyd had the same reach as me, and I'm like 3.5 inches taller.
Wow. You talk about the lawsuit. Yes, this was insurance for Devin Haney. He got absolutely dragged for this lawsuit by every walk of the, every corner of social media, all over the place. But it was a very smart move because if these boxing institutions aren't going to look out for you, if you know, the penalty for Ryan Garcia is a year long, which is one of the longer penalties, but it's, you know, he's still back into the ring. If no one's really going to look out for you, Devin Haney, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to sue this guy and I'm going to use it as leverage in a potential new fight. So, you know, Ryan Garcia was at this awards dinner and you can tell he was trying to avoid Haney, not because he wanted to, but because his lawyers were probably like, dude, this guy's suing you. Stay away. He actually said it in one of the interviews. Like, I'm being sued by Devin Haney. There's not so much I can say. There's not so much I can do. I don't want to get into a squabble with him. It was clearly like used as a leverage, a piece of leverage here. So now Devin Haney comes to the negotiating table and says, listen, I'll drop the lawsuit or I'll pause the lawsuit if you agree to the drug testing that I want, the VADA drug testing. Because Ryan was saying,
what a move.
Right? You can knock this guy all you want, but he's playing freaking chess out here.
That's 3D chess, bro.
Right?
That's what a move.
You can hate the way he fights. You can hate his dad. You can hate this, that, and the other. But you cannot deny the guy is a very shrewd businessman in boxing where it's the Wild West. It's you got to think, you got to look out for yourself and look three steps ahead of you.
I'm not going to lie. I hated the lawsuit thing. I hated the lawsuit thing, but now it's like, oh. Yeah,
but you, Ryan's talking about all, last week, the tune was, yeah, I'll fight Haney again, but I'm not doing Vada because it's aligned with Victor Conti. Victor Conti is with Snack. Snack is with Haney. There's too many coincidences here. And why does it have to be Vada, Ryan was saying? Why can't I use my own drug testing policy? Or can I use my own thing?
You can't use your own because that's the whole reason you don't want to use the Vada. You assume that that's their own, but it's not. I mean, it's not. It's these are legit organizations, but there are tons of. I was tested by everybody you've ever had. WADA, Vada, and USADA have all tested.
USADA, Vada, Wada. Ryan Garcia wants to do. Just trust me, bro. Wink, wink. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good, bro. Yeah, no, trust me. I'm fine. I'm past that,
bro. I'm not on anything. That's Ryan Garcia wants to use.
I definitely wasn't one of the most tested fighters because I didn't, you know, have enough of those big tank time fights. But I was one of the guys that I was just like, test me whenever the hell you want. You can test me yesterday, tomorrow. I hated the way they went about it in terms of their execution because they always just bother me like in the worst scenarios training wise. But I didn't care. Test me up and down. I have never been a dirty athlete. I was clean my entire life. I knew exactly what the hell I was taking. I have a background in nutrition, so I always knew what supplement was what was in them, or everything. So I was always adamant about, yeah, test me. As long as you test you, we're good. But then a lot of times when I was in fights that I was not the A side or at the negotiating power position, I didn't have the ability to say, oh, we're going to test the Conor Benns of the world, the Errol Spence of the world.
Conor Benn.
Yeah, we didn't have testing for either one of those fights, Errol Spence or Conor Benn, which if I were the, you know, if I was the commanding money guy, of course I would have had testing for them. But yeah, couldn't do that.
No. And Haney is someone that has said, I will do year round.
Meanwhile, all of my big fights, I was tested. All of my big fights in my heyday, I was tested.
Not the Benn fight, though.
No, that wasn't a big fight. Honestly, it wasn't a big fight in my career. Honestly, it was.
It was a high profile fight.
That was 38 years old. I was a 38.
I know, but like we know what's come out of. We know what the story is now after.
Well, yeah, it became a high profile fight. But yeah, at the time, even then, it was like it was important for me at the time. But it was not. I would never have looked at that fight as like a major fight in my career. I fought Manny Pacquiao. I fought Ruslan Provodnikov. Yeah. I fought Errol Spence. You know,
who's like, this punk?
I fought Amir Khan. Like that was not a big fight for me at all at that time.
Yeah. Well, we can't talk too much about it. You might get slapped with a lawsuit.
It was a 10 rounder. Go ahead. It was a 10 rounder. You know, it was like, so in terms of the testing, I was tested for all those big fights I just mentioned, except for that one.
Another thing that we could say about Haney that is very commendable is that he signed up for year round VADA testing. He was tested when he landed in London and he posted about it. One of the very few fighters that are doing year round testing. And Haney said that he got into a room with Turkey and Ryan Garcia to hash out this deal. And Ryan was like, I don't want to be tested year round. This is what Haney said. Yeah, just test me like up until the fight. And Haney's like, what the hell was that about?
That's not the way it works.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of fighters that are on the year round testing. Even Errol Spence has been on Twitter. Twitter, boxing Twitter is insane right now. Between Gervonta Davis going at Crawford, his wife, you know, all these fights being made. Teofimo Lopez hasn't stopped tweeting. And then we have Errol Spence, who is trying to comment on his fight with Fundora. He just was on a little thing yesterday where it's like, he's like, everyone's cheating. He's like, everyone's doing PEDs. He's like, there's nothing stopping me right now from doing PEDs to get ready for this fight with Fundora.
Wow.
After being out. Not so many words he said this, but this is what he was getting at.
Wow.
Listen, he's like the prime candidate to do PEDs. He's coming off of a long layoff. He has a lot of injuries. He's trying to get back into the rhythm. And he's pretty much said there's nothing stopping someone in my position or in my scenario from doing PEDs.
The honesty. It's tremendous.
He's always been honest. It's the truth.
I'm gonna say
Errol the truth, Spence.
Obviously, I fought the guy. I wanted to beat the guy. The guy beat me up. I hated the way that fight went. You know, but at the same time, he's hard not to like.
I think he's one of the most respected boxers out there today.
Yeah, I've run into him after the fight. I've seen the things, the way that he acts and carries himself. Other than obviously, you know, the alcohol fueled car accidents. You know, other than that stuff,
who will be the judge?
Very legit in terms of the way he handles everything. Like he's being really truthful. I mean, behind closed doors, I've always said, I'm like, yeah, that at a certain level, there's a certain price point what you make that the chances of you not being on PEDS is almost zero. So it's just a reality of the sport. So in terms of year-round testing, guys, first of all, Dan, I'm gonna school you on this. Year-round testing. I was in VADA year-round testing for, I think, 3 years of my career. Even when I was off, when I didn't fight for like 2 years, I was still on there. So maybe even longer than that. I got tested one time. You know why I got tested? Because I was in camp with Danny Jacobs. He got tested. And while they're there, they're saying, I will do 2-for-1. So they
they're like, yeah, come over here and piss in his cup.
Yeah, no, literally. Danny calls me. He goes, hey, VADA's here. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, I'm his nutritionist. I know what he's taking. I'm like, you're fine. Just go do what you got to do, kind of thing. He's like, yeah. He's like, and it was kind of like a weird pause. And he's like, they want to do you next. And I was like, what?
Do you have a fight lined up?
No. I hadn't fought for 18 months and I had nothing in line. I was literally still in litigation with my former promoter. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, bro. He's like, they want to test you next.
They want to check off a box for them. They want to be like, oh, we got two.
I'm coming up to the room right now. I'm coming up, whatever. I'll come do it, whatever. Obviously, everything was clean. But, dude, these drug testings are very expensive to run. So that brings me to my next point. Things could be different now. Obviously, we got Turkey involved. You know, how interested is he in catching cheats? I don't know. You know? Because you got to foot that bill, and it's very expensive.
He might say it. You know, he's saying all the right things, Turkey. I want to make boxing great again.
But ultimately, does he really care? He'd rather make the fight than cancel the fight. So
right, but
as all promoters do.
I can see him saying the right thing. I can see him. You know,
I'm not speaking ill of Turkey in any way. I'm just saying in terms of promotions, promoters in general, like yeah, they'd rather make the fight than not.
Right. I thought that was interesting. It's a big part of this Ryan Haney. It's all intertwined. This is why I think this was the saga of the year last year, because. It just adds everything. I mean, you know, there's a PED discussion to come out of it. There's year-long testing to come out of it. There's a two-fight deal now. There's a new weight class. To talk about the actual deal outside of the PED stuff that Haney kind of really shrewdly put in there is we're going to get this rematch now. It looks like we're going to get it at 147. They're going to take interim fights in May, which...
I think it's a good idea.
You do think it's a good idea. As a boxing fan, I hate it because it's like this kind of like... It's just kind of this is the two fights for them. It's not, I don't expect them to be huge fights, the interim ones, but this is the year now for Haney and Ryan. It's just them going to be fighting this year, so we're not going to get Ryan versus a big name. We're not going to get Haney versus another big name, but you know, beggars can't be choosers here. Let's not bite off more than we can chew. And also, Haney has been out of the ring for both guys are going to be out of the ring for a year. So I'm a big fan of. I'm sure you agree too. Like, let's get these guys being at their absolute best when they step back into the ring. And that probably involves getting into the ring in May. Now, go ahead.
It's kind of the old school. I you fight, I fight. Either you put them on the same card together.
They are putting them on the same card.
Okay, yeah. So that's cool too. Like you know, that's kind of an '80s thing. You'd have that. You'd set up you know a couple fighters be on the same card or have them ringside and just kind of it just gives more energy to the fight itself. So I think it's a good move. As long as everybody does their job.
Right, and they have to win because we've seen that before where guys don't win and the biggest fights can be ripped up. Deals can be ripped up, especially with Turkey too. He's been snake bitten a few times where he's looking at fights to happen before the original fights were happening. But
yeah, he forgets it's not WWE sometimes. you can't just decree who's fighting who when.
You know, I said that they're probably not going to have huge fights for this interim. I stand corrected because it's just a slew of news and tweets. It's really I'm usually on top of everything. I'm having a hard time keeping up with everything. That's how much there is. So Turkey posts a picture of Ryan Garcia signing on the dotted line, and it says huge fight news coming. We've struck a deal, which obviously is for the Haney Ryan fight, the two fight deal with the interim fight in May. Teofimo Lopez quote tweets it and says, let the games begin, handshake emoji. So is Ryan Garcia fighting Teofimo Lopez in May?
Absolutely not.
Is that Teofimo just being Teofimo and just tweeting nonsense?
Yes. It's the same way that Ryan would like say he's going to fight David Benavidez in his next fight. Just with David just
he did say that to me.
Yeah. So it come on. It's
I don't
it's
know,
catching,
man.
It's catching a moment.
Because no, Ryan Garcia also no said... Ryan Garcia also said before this picture came out, you guys are never going to guess who I'm fighting next.
I didn't see that.
He said, you got to stop like doubting me. I'm the only one doing it like this. I mean, I'm not like in this new world we're living in of Riyadh season where any fight is possible. You know, everything in the past is, this would never even be a fight in the, like, you would never even think of this fight as a boxing fan. But in this new world we're living in, a Teofimo versus Ryan Garcia fight with a Haney fight also agreed to is not out of the realm of possibility. And also, if Ryan Garcia lost to Teofimo outside of like a first round destruction, I would still want to see Ryan versus Haney.
Yeah.
Because we're just wiping away the whole notion of you have to have a pristine record. Just fight each other. Everyone fight each other. Make all the money because the money's there. Get it while it's hot.
It's an interesting thought. I don't think we're there yet. Even UFC, as crazy as they are, they wouldn't do this.
Yeah, but there's no one looking over this. This Turkey is not. Is he looking out for the long term health of the sport, or is he just trying to make the biggest splash right now?
Buddy, Oscar De La Hoya wouldn't let Ryan fight a kickboxer in an exhibition.
Okay.
You think he's going to let him fight Teofimo Lopez?
Yes.
No.
Because
no shot.
At what point do you really just cash in on Ryan? We're going Tank, Haney again, Teofimo. The guy is you can't depend on Ryan Garcia. So yeah,
he's a loose cannon for sure.
If you have a freaking ATM, which is Turkey, and you're Oscar, and you're like, oh my God, I'm not only am I going to make back my money on signing Ryan Garcia and all the headaches that he provided over the first 6 years of this deal. Like, honestly,
I think Oscar loves it. So don't get me wrong. I think he actually loves it.
But still, like, he's also a businessman. It's not the biggest, they don't have the biggest outfit, Golden Boy. They have to make really smart decisions. If he's thinking, oh my God, I can quadruple my investment. I can just print money off of Ryan Garcia by having him fight all these guys and take a page out of my book, which I'm always preaching. I fought everybody. Yeah, risks. You got to take risks. That was a little too
that's
like
him as a fighter, not as a promoter.
But I'm just saying, I would not be shocked if Ryan is fighting Teofimo next. That's a crazy sentence that I even just said with Haney hanging in the balcony. Haney ain't fighting anyone crazy next.
And what makes you think that Top Rank's going to allow that fight?
Teofimo? Money?
Yeah.
Money? It's the reason why Top Rank or any promoter right now is letting any of their fighters fight on Riyadh season.
Yeah, but did they not learn?
They're getting a piece of it.
Did they not learn their lesson with Jared Anderson?
Yeah, but I'm sure they made some money on it.
Tio, all right. So listen, I love Tio. He's going to be way undersized in that fight. And Ryan's a very dangerous fighter. I would lean Tio in the fight. But yeah. Listen, he can get knocked out in the first round. Ryan can punch, and he's quick. So Teofimo gets starched in round one. Top Rank loses.
Oh my God.
Loses every ability to make any kind of money with Teofimo.
They're done with him. I think they're on their the wit's end with him.
Are they though? When you're that talented, I don't know, man.
I don't know. I'm basing this off of I don't know any knowledge of the situation. But at what point are they just like, good God, you're a headache? And we've seen this in the past where they've just let guys go. Terrence Crawford, everyone, and go down the list of big time stars they have just let walk. Oscar, yeah, Floyd.
Dan, you're talking about Terrence. Terrence Crawford wasn't that big of a star then. Like, his star power grew immensely once he left Top Rank. Top Rank is very good at sequestering these. Like, Floyd Mayweather was another one. He wasn't like this massive, massive draw or star.
Well, he bet on himself. But I would say that Teofimo and Crawford are very similar in terms of they have this idea in their head that they're bigger stars than they really are. They're not like outside
at the moment, yeah.
Right. Outside of Crawford selling in Nebraska, he's not a huge ticket seller. They were paying him $4 or $5 million per fight, Top Rank, towards the end of his deal, Crawford, which is absurd. They're probably not paying Teofimo as much. Teofimo's not like a ticket seller. He doesn't have a hometown crowd, and he's not as big as he thinks as he is in his head. So I could see Top Rank just being like, oh, you don't want to fight Matias, which was never really going to be a huge business type of fight. Mm-hmm. You want to fight Ryan Garcia? Teofimo, well, we want some of that Ryan Garcia business, mm-hmm. Top Rank. We want to get our promotional fee off of this and Saudi and all that. So I, when I saw this, I wasn't like shocked. Yes, I'll still be like, there will be a shock to me if I see that fight being made because it's too risky. The Haney Ryan fight, is there. Like putting Teofimo in there with Ryan Garcia, which I would love to see, just like in this world where like we're just throwing away all these comment, like these conventionalities that we saw with boxing, like it still is too crazy.
I don't think we're that far yet there yet, but
well, Teofimo's talking, he says he wants Richardson Hitchens now.
Yeah, I mean that fight makes sense. He's a champion. Go get another title.
Yeah, Teofimo was in attendance too at this Ring Magazine. Just
well, he's been everywhere. I mean, these past couple weeks, he's been literally everywhere.
He's taken a page out of the Ryan Garcia book. It's like have a mini crash out meltdown, not going as far as Ryan Garcia did, but tweet at everybody, be everywhere, do every interview. He had the ring belt.
His crash out seemed a lot more calculated than Ryan's.
Right.
Ryan seemed like legit crashes, and then he just writes the ship. He's very good at that. Tio, I think Tio is a lot more calculated.
Yeah. But I like Haney versus Ryan Garcia. I like this saga. I like what could be possibly two interim fights on the same card. Now, we talked about Canelo, right? Canelo fighting in May. According to Ring Magazine, the Haney-Ryan interim card is also being targeted for early May. Are they wild enough to put Canelo Alvarez, Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney on the same card in the U.S.? Because that would be something.
I doubt it. I doubt it. I think Canelo's going to be in the U.S.
I'm talking the interim stuff. Haney versus, you know, any guy. Ryan versus somewhat of a contender.
I mean, that makes sense. Actually, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't or does?
No, it doesn't. It makes sense.
Because I understand where you're coming from, Chris. You're thinking like we all have been thinking for the last 10 years. Like our brains are not used to what Turkey is offering as fight fans.
They're not going to put Teofimo Ryan on a card of anything.
No. If it's just, say it's like Ryan versus an Oscar Duarte type and Haney versus a similar type of guy. And then Canelo versus Skull or whoever.
That's a cool card, especially because the interim fights might not be that great. Because even Ryan Garcia Duarte wasn't a very good fight. It wasn't a very fun fight to watch. Our man Duarte, though, he's been on a roll.
He's fighting Regis Progre.
He's going to beat Progre.
I kind of like that fight. It's like a
last man standing
type of fight.
Not even really. I think Duarte is actually pretty damn good. I think he's wildly strong. He's in great shape. Obviously he comes in excellent condition. It's one of those timing fights. This is like changing the guard type stuff. Mm. And I think he's much better at 40 than it was at 35.
But to go back to this May thing, man, we're living in a crazy time in boxing. Our friend Ariel Helwani, did you see this? He tweeted on one of his shows. This guy talks for freaking all day long. He's going to get dragged every once in a while. He says boxing is at an all-time high right now. And Dan Rafael lost his mind. Lou DiBella had a freaking aneurysm.
Yeah, the old guard steps in. And be like,
the back in my day brigade is like spitting their drink out. Because obviously boxing is nowhere near it was when Lou DiBella was the chairman of HBO Boxing. Or where it was in the 70s or the 80s. But what Ariel was trying to say was the interest, like this type of stuff that we spent the last 45 minutes talking about, and what's going on in the UK and Turkey's influence and Saudi's influence. It's a wild time right now in boxing, like for good or for worse. Like we don't know how this is all going to play out. I agree with Ariel that it's insanely intriguing. It's more intriguing than MMA right now. Is it for the good? Is it for the worse? Is it like we don't know? And that's exciting.
I love Ariel. I think, you know, he's a great guy. He does a great job, but he's looking at this from a media perspective.
He's looking at it from he's an MMA guy.
No, he's but a media guy. He's a media guy.
He's probably listening right now. He listens to our show every week. What's up, Ariel?
That's great. What's up, buddy?
But he's a boxing guy, but he's not like fully in. So he's looking at it from.
I think he's a much more of a boxing guy than you give him credit for.
Yeah.
I think he understands a lot of this sport, but I think he's looking at this from a media perspective. And in terms of media, yes, boxing is incredibly, incredibly high at this point. In the new era where we're at, where fights aren't on NBC. you know, when you've got millions of people tuning in because there's 17 channels. It's different. We live in a different world now. So in terms of that, where we're at here, looking at this from a media perspective, there's so much news and there's so much access based on Twitter and social media and all these different things. Yeah, it's out of control. Like you just said, like we'll get as far as we can today. Guys, before we get on the show, we're like, we'll get through as much as we can. There's so much to talk about. We'll see where we get.
I'll save it for next episode. Tyson Fury retired, and we're not getting to it on this episode.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it. Yes, in terms of that, yes. In terms of the media fodder, no doubt about it. It's definitely one of the highest times for the sport. But in terms of the legacy of our business and of this the Sweet Science, it's really hard to compare this to those other errors. But listen, everything's it's different. It's changing all the time. And I don't know. I think boxing is in a really good place. We're finally adapting. I think for a long time we were not. We were left in the dust. The dinosaurs were ruling the nest, and things were not stepping up the way that it should be. Now, I think we're right in line. I don't think you can argue that MMA is taking over boxing like people did 5 years ago.
MMA seems a little. I'm not an MMA guy, but it seems a little stale to me. MMA, yeah. Like they're recycling fights. For one thing, too, like every fight is on pay per view. Like they say that about boxing. Like every month, there's a new pay-per-view for UFC. Like they got one this weekend, and I know some of the names on there. Our guy Mirab is defending his title. Yep, next month, they have another one.
With fight.
Yeah, I know. They screwed him over. Next month, they have another one with the Sean Strickland guy, who people are tired of.
I love Sean. He's hilarious.
But he's not good. Like, he's main event.
Very good. Sean's very good.
I don't like watching him fight. I think he's so primitive.
No, he's very good. Very good.
Point I'm getting at is MMA, not that we have to do this MMA versus boxing debate, but that's something, that's Ariel's world. But it's exciting right now, boxing. Like, yeah, it's not the same visibility. Like, you go down to the street and ask who the heavyweight champion is. No, they don't know. No one's talking. It's not like the 80s where horse racing and boxing were the best sports in the world. That's fine. But like, in terms of the fight fans are happy, they have to be happy. Like, once again, it goes back to my argument. Like, the fans don't care about if Saudi is good or bad for boxing. They don't care what's going to happen in 5 years, 10 years. They're just like, what do you got for me this Saturday night?
That was exactly my point I was making about Ariel. Like, his perspective. He's not a fan perspective. I know he's a fan of our sport and he's a fan of boxing, our sport. I know he's a fan of boxing, but like that, the fans don't care. They're not paying attention to the.
Nor should they care. They have their own lives. Like they have like their own stress. Like boxing for most fans is like an outlet on a Saturday night to hang out with your boys or watch a fight. And
me growing up, like where I knew I was going to be a fighter, I didn't care about all this stuff. I probably should have. I should have taken more notes.
It's way different now.
It was fun for me. Like, it was just fun. It was entertainment. You know, this is a sport. It's like, tune in. And, I know a lot of people take sports very, very seriously, but I don't know. When I was coming up, like boxing, like you said, was an outlet to have fun with my friends on a Friday night, watching Friday night fights, or when, Trinidad fights Hopkins and I'm watching on HBO and I have a fight party at my house, or I leave my junior prom early so I can get home to watch, Mayweather and Corrales. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just,
way it's different now.
Fans, it's just totally different perspective.
Eric Raskin, who I believe is the best boxing writer today in terms of, he's a columnist.
Especially long form. He writes long, good articles that are very.
He's at Boxing Scene, and he's a columnist. Like, he's not reporting on like Lance Pugmire. Those guys do a great job too.
He's also not holding a camera phone in your face.
No, he's giving his opinion. He's writing funny articles. He has an article out on Boxing Scene about like what do boxing fans care about these days? What is boxing become in terms of coverage? Or is it? It seems like there's more coverage of money. There's more coverage of the deals, the power brokers, rather than the fights. And I thought it was a really interesting article and story from Raskin. That's what it is now, and that's not just boxing. It's all sports. Like, we know how much LeBron is making. We know Supermax deals.
Yeah, but we know what that is. That's reality TV.
No, it's just more information, Chris. There's more like. Like, we know Juan Soto's deal, $750 million. It's just like we're in the information era.
People want to hear the stories. People want to peel back the curtain. They want to see what's going on. It's more details. I guess, like you said, it's
I have no problem with it. If you're a fight fan and you follow the fights and you want to follow the drama, you want to follow the contracts, and they go, it's all put into the sauce. It's a big giant pot, boxing, and it's got that in there. It's got squabbles with promoters. It's got fighters beefing. It's got Twitter. You have to put up with all of it.
This is nothing new, by the way. It's just now it's accessible.
Correct. Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because every once in a while people will tweet me and they'll say, this would never have happened in the 80s.
Wrong. I'm like, are you crazy? It was happening in the 80s.
Google freaking Hagler versus Sugar Ray Leonard and what Sugar Ray Leonard did to how long he dragged that out. Mm-hmm. Like, he had that whole event, and remember, in Maryland, and he brings Hagler to it, big red, black tie affair, and he gets into the ring, and everyone thinks that Ray is going to announce that he's going to fight Hagler. It's never going to happen, Ray. Yep. Set him up so bad.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling me that if Hagler, Hearns, Leonard, Tyson, Ali didn't have Twitter, like, if Twitter was around, they wouldn't be doing the same exact things.
Berated his opponents. Joe Frazier. Sonny Liston. I mean, nonstop. Like, guys, this is not new. How about Antonio Tarver showing up at Roy Jones's press conferences, calling him out, stepping up? Literally, they made movies, The Great White Hype.
Tarver was before his time.
That Great White Hype was literally, they was based on Antonio Tarver, like, going at Roy Jones.
Tarver in today's era, he would be a star.
Yeah.
He still was, but, like, this guy dropped Roy Jones. But, like,
actually, Great White Hype might have been before that.
But it might
have
been a little bit before that. But yeah, like.
But same idea.
This would have happened in any era. You're talking about rich, wealthy competitors, and they're going to get on Twitter. They're going to, they're going to drag things out with the negotiations, because it's very important. Javonta Davis, not at this ring awards dinner. One of the most, the biggest name not involved with it. Pretty much had everyone there.
Well, damn, neither were we. I mean, we're
I'm still waiting.
The biggest boxing media members in the world. And I think people should take note of that. Be like, wow, why aren't Chris and Dan there?
There's got to be some people that are thinking that.
Something's fishy here.
Hmm. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the year can bring. But Gervonta not there today. As of today, tweeting pictures of Al Haymon. This is who I ride with. I'm loyal. Pretty much calling everyone there, for a lack of a better term, just like D riders. Everyone in that picture, he quote tweeted that big picture that came out of the awards dinner, and he was like, "Oh, you guys have to be there. I don't have to be there."
Tank said that?
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
He's like, "I don't got to. You guys are only there because you're getting paid. It's pathetic. This, that, and the other. I don't have to be there." But, like, I don't know, man. If everyone's there and all the fights are being made, like, you are on the outside looking in. It's admirable. Like, if we want to see Tank in some of these big fights, he's eventually going to have to do the Canelo route and show up.
I think Tank does it too. Like, it's the same reason that Canelo's going to do it. Like, why leave money on the table when if the fight's going to happen anyway? Why not just have some extra?
It's a good experiment.
Extra cream in that coffee, man. Why not?
It's a good experiment to see if Tank would ever bend the knee. I'm just with that term, bend the knee. It doesn't mean it's just like, will Tank give in? Because he's letting it be known. I'm not putting words in his mouth.
So he's putting that term out there, essentially. He's like,
exactly. I'm not putting words in his mouth. He's
No.
He's making a big time stance.
We use the same term anyway. We use the same term earlier, and it is to a degree that. But yeah, and it's interesting, the lines being drawn, and who's gonna stand their ground, which I don't think anyone will. Why would you? Pride's very important, but listen, you're talking about it's just extra money, dude. Like,
why? Yeah, why wouldn't you take it?
Yeah,
like if you're in a job and someone comes in with all that money and like you're in a certain field, like, of course you're gonna explore it. I think every fighter is gonna
depends on the money, because like, is it 20% more? Is it 2x? Is it 3? Like,
it's got to be astronomically more.
Yeah, what kind of difference are we talking? Like,
crazy.
Because listen, if it's 20%, like, I mean, I don't like to turn back any money, but like, I can turn that. I mean, it's a lot of money still, but like, if you're talking about like big money, why?
Sorry. Right, you have to do it. Like, and again, boxing,
you can still keep yourself respect. You don't have to go in.
No, and once again, like the real fans don't care. If you're not part of
that's the thing. At the end of the day, the stuff that happens behind the closed doors, most people don't ever hear about and don't need to know about.
Right.
Us in the boxing industry, a lot of times we do, and we pull back the curtain from time to time. But for the most part, whatever. And in 10 years, 15 years, nobody's going to care.
No, we're just going to look back at these fights and talk about them.
We'll talk about the fights, but your grandkids also are going to have a house. So it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's what's going on in the boxing world right now. It's a crazy time. It's an interesting time. Like, we're getting the biggest fights. We're getting a lot of drama. Like, supposedly we're getting a 5v5 between Golden Boy and Matchroom in the States in June.
That's cool.
There's going to be a lot. You know, one thing we talked about on our year.
I love the 5v5s.
Yeah, those are coming back, and they're going to be in the States, which should be fun. One thing we talked about on the year-end award show is, you know, how much will Riyadh season be a player in 2025? It's very clear. Right out of the gates, very first clear. Weekend of the year.
Very clear.
Is money being thrown around, fights being thrown around. So boxing's in a good place as much as some of the old brigade.
Whether or not it's going to be a player, I don't think is in question. It's how long.
How long?
How long? And right. We're not talking months. We're talking about years at this point. Like, how long is that going to be? So
yeah,
that's where we're at with that.
So
I can't believe I said Antonio Tarver was based on the guy from on Great White Hype. I think it was actually the other way around. I feel like, you know what
it is? We should call it, though.
The guy looked like Tarver. So it's just like, so maybe Tarver was trying to be that. No, I'm kidding.
Or, you know, Mason, he played Mason the Lion Dixon in Rocky.
In Rocky, yeah.
With Tarver's in it.
He's one of the greatest characters in our sport.
I thought he was on his way to becoming a big media guy. I don't know what happened, but
he was, you know, he was doing shows with PBC. He was doing Pro Box TV for the first year, and Roy, which is pretty cool to see former foes working together. And they had a great dynamic, two Florida boys, just, you know, chatting it up about
what's your excuse tonight, Roy,
super high level. Both of them, people forget how good of an amateur, Antonio Tarver was. Phenomenal yeah. Amateur, highest level that you could be in the States.
I think if he was around today, with Twitter and everything.
Oh, he was killing it.
Yeah.
He started out, like I said, like him showing up at Roy's, he was chasing Roy for so long, just always telling him he was going to beat him. Like
Hopkins too.
Yeah, that didn't work out though.
I interviewed Hopkins.
Hopkins was one of those guys calling people out?
I'm just saying Hopkins, like with a little more media attention, would be hilarious.
I mean, he got a lot. That Trinidad fight, I mean, first of all, winning that tournament, the middleweight tournament was huge. And then you got Trinidad in the final. And then being in Puerto Rico and throwing the Puerto Rican flag down on the stage and him jumping over a fence to escape.
I interviewed him about that. I had him on for like an hour interview with Hopkins.
Well, there's no such thing as a less than an hour interview.
No, I got three questions in. And yeah, one of them...
I've had breakfast with him. I don't even think I took a bite. I just like listening.
One of my questions was like the mind games. Like, you're the ultimate guy when it comes to mind games.
Chess player.
And what were you thinking when you did that in Puerto Rico? And he said, I wanted to piss him off. I wanted to show his people that I'm not scared. I wanted to mostly get him angry. So I was going to throw the flag and I was going to run out of there. I was like, you are just fucking
exactly
bold,
what he did.
Man.
You exactly are what he did.
The art of war.
That's penitentiary shit. Now that's being in the penitentiary, being like, all right, this is.
Bro,
this
he told me those stories.
Oof, those are rough.
He's like, we would get on a bus, like a yellow bus, and we would drive to the other jail. And we wouldn't know who we were fighting. It wasn't even a ring, he said. A lot of times it was just like a mat. I was like, bro, I am so fascinated by that. I would love to like do a deeper dive on what the hell like penitentiary boxing leagues look like. And this is a guy that had professional fights at the time before he got incarcerated. Came out of prison, went on to become all-time great.
Didn't he lose? He lost his first fight, right?
Lost his first fight. Him, Marquez. Yeah. It's a trivia question. There's a few others that lost their first fight. That is our episode this week. We will be back on Monday. We're working on a guest. We don't do a lot of guests on this show, but when we do, they are good guests.
They're good ones.
Keep it locked. We will also talk about
Shakur Stevenson. Very good. Very good.
Yes, it's of that same ilk. I'll give you a hint. And we'll have some other news. Hopefully, some of these fights get finalized. We have more of a better picture of what's going on with Haney and Ryan. Maybe an official announcement. And some other stuff. But enjoy the weekend. Not a lot of big fights this weekend once again, but things will start ramping up in no time. Once February hits, late January with Pacheco and then Inoue And then Benavides, Morel, then we're full steam ahead for the rest
Benavides,
of the year.
Benavides
and Morel. All right, everyone. Enjoy the weekend. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs.